Good morning. That's better. There's a couple of notices before I read our own notices for the church. The first is that the Wesleyan Reform Union General Meeting is on Saturday, the 2nd of March, and it's at Rushton Mission Church, and it's also on Zoom. If anyone would like to attend as a visitor, can you please let Joyce know? And the booking deadline is Sunday, the 18th of February. Sing It Loud are recruiting for a one-off choir to perform in Warwick Arts Centre on the 25th of May 2024, and it's open to all. There's going to be 150 singers, hopefully, on stage at a local venue. If you'd like more information, Dave's put a poster on the notice board, and Joyce has details of a link to book, and you get an early bird discount if you book by the 1st of February. So, how much is it, Joyce? So it's £24 by the 1st of February. There is a notice on the board anyway. The notices for the coming week are as follows. On Wednesday, the prayer meeting will be held at 8 p.m. on Zoom. The church cafe will be held at 10 a.m. in the church hall, and the craft group will also meet at 10 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. Next Sunday's service will be communion, and Jeff Pinnick has taken the service, and worship warriors will meet at 11 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. This Sunday, it's Catherine's aunt's last Sunday with us. Is that right? Yeah. Give us a wave. It's been lovely to have you with us the last few months, and we wish you God's blessing on your travels back to Ghana. Okay. It's my pleasure to welcome this morning Gavin and Dee. It's lovely to have you with us, and we offer you a warm welcome. I'll hand over to you. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Morning. Well, it's a huge privilege to be here today. Thank you so much for your welcome. Before we tell you a little bit about the charity that Dee and I represent, a little bit about ourselves, shall we stand for our first hymn, which is Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
On Monday, Dee sent me an email. She sent the email out to the whole of Coventry Food Bank. Dee and I both started Coventry Food Bank some 13 years or so ago, and she sent this email out on Monday and said, "Do you know it's 13 years since we first opened operations?" And we did that in two locations. One was at the Hope Centre, which is in Hillfields, and the other is at Queen's Road Baptist Church. And in all those years, we have fed hundreds of thousands of people across the city of Coventry. I think there's probably nobody in this city now who has not in some way heard of or been connected with or been a recipient of food from Coventry Food Bank. However, the work of Coventry Food Bank has expanded rapidly since those early days. And in 2021, we came together with a Hinckley-based charity called Feed the Hungry. And Feed the Hungry is an international humanitarian aid charity. And together, over the last 3 years, both the work of Coventry Food Bank and the work of Feed the Hungry has expanded rapidly. It's expanded rapidly not only in the international work they've been doing, but also in the work we're doing in Coventry, Warwickshire and Leicestershire. Now, you could sit there and listen to me go on about all of this for about 10 or 15 minutes, but actually, we put together quite a nice little explainer video, which in 4 or 5 minutes will give you a very, very good overview of what the whole charity does. And we'll tell you a little bit more in detail later on about some of the individual projects that we're involved in around the world, as well as the work of Coventry Food Bank.
Feed the Hungry is a humanitarian aid charity working with and supporting thousands of people around the world. We have projects that are helping those in need, both in the UK and internationally. You may well be aware of a Feed the Hungry project that you've been connected to or have supported, but we want to give you a quick overview of the broader work that we do. Our aim is to bring people from a place of survival to a place of significance. Everyone has different needs, and so our projects are positioned to help using a variety of different methods. We want to help those who are only just surviving and move them to a place of stability. We want to help people to become sustainable, that is, to become more independent and self-sufficient. And we want everyone to know that they are significant, they are valued, and they have something to contribute to the world. All of Feed the Hungry's projects fit into this model. Our projects are split into six areas of work: international humanitarian aid, emergency disaster relief, emergency food parcels, community pantries, nutritional food products known as Nourish, and building sustainable economies. Feed the Hungry UK is one of six global offices that work together to bring humanitarian aid to those in need. Between these offices, over 400,000 children and young people are regularly fed through school-based programs. Because the food is distributed through schools, the students are encouraged to come to school, so they are not only receiving food, but also an education. Feed the Hungry UK is responsible for programs in Bolivia, Burkina Faso, Kenya, Nepal, Romania, Zambia and Zimbabwe. Some of the food used in these programs begins here in the UK, where it's packed by teams of volunteers into meal bags, which are boxed and palletized before being sent overseas by freight. Some food is sourced in the destination country, and some food is grown at the feeding project itself. Disasters can hit at any time, and Feed the Hungry looks to respond as quickly as possible with food, bottled water, medical supplies and bedding. Previously, we've sent aid in response to earthquakes such as in Turkey and Syria, financial support for flooding and landslides in Nepal, and as part of an ongoing relief effort, hundreds of tons of aid have been sent to Ukraine. Here in the UK, Feed the Hungry's largest project is Coventry Food Bank, providing emergency food parcels for people in Coventry facing food crisis. In the year ending April 23, over 29,000 food parcels were distributed. Feed the Hungry also distributes emergency food parcels in South Leicestershire. Alongside this, our Pathfinder project enables our team to work with those in food crisis to access services and funding support. We've provided advice and support that has put over £150,000 back in the pockets of food bank clients. Food banks and emergency food parcels provide a short-term solution for someone facing food crisis, but they don't deal with the root causes that might put someone in that position. This is where a community pantry can help. Community pantries are a subsidised supermarket where a member can access food at a reduced rate. A pantry member can access a community pantry once a week for a cost of £5, and in exchange, they receive about £25 worth of food. Memberships are only available to those who meet a specific criteria, and a membership lasts for about 6 months, although can be renewed. During this period, pantry members are encouraged to work with other services, such as Citizens Advice, to try to tackle the causes that have led them to need to use a community pantry. Nourish is a range of high nutrition food products. These are used both in our feeding programs overseas, like our Nourish rice meal packs, and also here in the UK. Some Nourish products use food that would otherwise be thrown away, which helps to reduce food waste. Some products will be sold, the profits from which will be reinvested back into our feeding programs. Feed the Hungry doesn't just want to feed people, we want to bring them to a place of life and fullness. Our Sustainable Economies programme looks to revive communities in countries like Zimbabwe, where farming techniques are being taught. We help people to secure land and provide tools and seed so that food can be grown to feed families and also to generate income. In Nepal, we've funded the drilling of boreholes so communities can have access to clean and safe water. And in Zambia, we've helped to start a pig farm, which provides an income to help support a school feeding programme. Feed the Hungry is more than just about giving out food. We're about improving the quality of life for people around the world, bringing them from a place of survival to significance. And you can be a part of this journey.
I don't know if, like me, every time you see that video, you go, wow, that's a lot of people that are being reached through a project which has its basis here in the city of Coventry. In fact, for any of you that would like to come and see what we do, our home is over in Binley near the Morrisons. So it's the Binley Industrial Estate, the Halo Centre. You can pick up contact details at the end, but we would love to welcome you there, where we can give you quite an extensive tour of the things that we're doing at that particular project basis, and we can also encourage you to get involved on a volunteering basis if you'd like to. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. What that video doesn't tell you as well is that we are an overtly Christian charity. We're a praying community where we love and worship the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray regularly. So, that without further ado, we shall move on to our next hymn, which is Rejoice, Rejoice, Christ is in You.
Thank you.
Do you know, it's lovely to hear a keyboard player enjoying themselves. Do you know what a glissando is? Dave, do you know what a glissando is? A glissando. That's it. That's a glissando. Did you hear the glissando in the song? Go on, we'll have a glissando challenge. Give us a glissando, Dave. That's it, and a glissando in the organ? Thank you. Oh, dear, oh, dear. I'm a keyboard player, by the way, so I know she's a glissando when I hear a glissando. Okay, we've got our first scripture reading, which is from Psalm 146, verses 7 to 10. And we're going to read this from the Message version. And so it starts. He always does what he says. He defends the wronged. He feeds the hungry. God frees prisoners. He gives sight to the blind. He lifts up the fallen, protects strangers, takes the side of orphans and widows, but makes short work of the wicked. God's in charge always. Amen. Yeah. Zion's God is good for God. Good for God for good. That's a bit of a mouth teaser. Let's say that one again, shall we? Zion's God is God for good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, it's a huge, huge privilege to introduce Dee. Dee and I go back even before we started Food Bank. Today's when we set up a CAP centre together, Christians Against Poverty. We were doing debt counselling in the city of Coventry. And we just had one of those mad moments where we thought we're not able to feed people doing debt counselling. So why don't we start a food bank? And so I thought today you might like to hear a little bit about Dee's story. So I'm quite interested to hear Dee's story as well. So so without further ado, let me introduce Dee Ward.
Good morning, everyone. Gavin asked me to share how I got to be standing here today, 13 years after opening our first food bank centre. The answer is I'm not quite entirely sure. It wasn't my career choice, as food banks didn't even exist when we first met, and I followed a deep need to be part of a serving ministry. I took my first retirement at the age of 30 to become a full-time mum to my two children who are now grown up, and which was lovely until they went to school. I needed to find my own identity again. For the first 8 years of their lives, I was always known as Mum. Didn't have a name, you're just known as Mum. So the church, I looked to the church to see if there's any volunteering opportunities. I retrained as an adult tutor and a teaching assistant, and I thought that would be my new career path. Oh, how wrong I was. In 2009, we had a CAP mini course arranged by the church, which helped me manage our one household income better. And this is where I first met Gavin, who then opened the first CAP centre, and the church were asking for volunteers. And I thought this might be a great way to meet people and talk to adults. I become D again. And while I was volunteering as a befriender, Gavin then mentioned the thought that he might be starting a food bank. Never heard of food banks, didn't know what a food bank was. Thought he was absolutely bonkers. The CAP centre was busy enough. We already had a waiting list of over 3 months at a time. We never got down the list. But there was a need there, and so it began. Things moved really swiftly after that spark, to training and gathering food from supermarkets, convincing shoppers of this new project, and trying to explain how it was all going to work. Now, you just mentioned food bank, and people know what we're talking about. And that's how times have changed. We found some storage space behind the Godiva clock on the third floor in a rickety old lift, taking food up and down. Sometimes it got stuck. And we set about sorting and preparing for our open day on the 21st of January 2011. I volunteered from the first session, waiting patiently for our first visitor to arrive for their first food parcel. it quickly snowballed from there on. And within the first year, I think we fed about 9,000 people. And we'd opened 11 centres by then. So you can food bank exploded across the city very quickly. I joined, Gavin asked me in November of 2012, would I like to help with the admin for 2 days a week? And so it began. So in January 2013, we were informed by the local radio station that we were opening a clothes bank. Who knew? We didn't. No one told us. So within 4 hours on a Monday morning, we had a plan. There had been a local resident collecting coats to give out at the food banks, but hadn't told anyone except the radio station. And so by Monday afternoon, Gavin was on the radio station announcing that we were now opening a clothes bank and people could donate their clothes to us. And so we started with 7 pubs across the city collecting clothes, and word got around and it soon snowballed. We ran this project until late 2020, and we were clothing about 1,000 people a month. During our history, we have tried to engage people from all areas of the city to support our work, and reflecting back, Gavin asked me to find some highlights to share with you. Goodness, after 13 years, that was a big ask. I searched through my phone, looking at over 500 photographs, and it really struck me that how many people we'd engaged with. All the photographs of corporates, of schools, of events. I was trying to put them onto a slide, but there were so many, and I ran out of time, because I had a deadline by Thursday night, that unfortunately it didn't happen. So, some highlights from the early days. We challenged all the youth groups in the city to decorate a shopping trolley, fill it with food, and then push it through the streets of the city from their church into Coventry Cathedral for a youth harvest. Some poor souls, like people in Tile Hill and Canley, had a very long walk. But they were the most amazing trolleys, and we've never done it since. Maybe we should do it again. We challenged all the schools to record Food Glorious Food for a harvest singing competition. And every harvest assembly we went to, guess what their song was? By the end of that season, we never wanted to hear that song again. In 2017, we moved into Progress Way, and I walked into that room. Into the warehouse, I went, oh my God, how are we going to fill this? 2024, you walk into the warehouse and you're like, oh, where are we going to put this? God has filled it. We took it in faith and God is using it for all the projects that you saw on the screen. In 22, I took on the role of project manager to look after the operations of Food Bank at the start of the cost of living. Little did I know that it was going to be one of the hardest couple of years I've ever faced in Food Bank history. As donations have shrank and demand has risen, we've had to purchase, last year we purchased over 50 tonnes of food just to keep the food flowing to the people that needed it. We have tirelessly been fundraising, grant funding, anything we could do to get food through the doors. We have now fed over 250,000 people over the last 13 years. And although this is a bittersweet number, yes, it's amazing that we could provide the food. However, my passion now is to end the need for food banks. While we ensure that those people who are struggling to feed themselves can find support in our South and Welcoming Food Bank centres, until decision makers start making the right decisions to help those at the lowest of incomes and be able to afford their own essentials. No one wants to ask a charity for food and a toilet roll. And that's one of our highest asks. People come in for food, but what they really need is toilet rolls. In September, we had the MP Zara Sultana stand with us to launch our essentials campaign in the city. Which you can also be part of. Being involved with Coventry Food Bank has been life-changing. I have had a crippling fear of public speaking, but here I am. Even sitting there, I was like, what are you making me do? However, I have found that I quite like talking to people and sharing our work. But God gave me a natural gift of empathy and a servant's heart where I love to serve people, especially at our centres, serving them tea, coffee and chatting to our visitors and trying to make their day a little bit better. I have met probably thousands of adults volunteering, children, school assemblies, people dropping food donations through church visits, public engagement at the doors of Sainsbury's and Tesco's. I might have even come across you guys, who knows? But now we're able to reconnect with visitors after they've been to visit Food Bank. We give them a follow-up call to check on how they are and if they've sought any extra support and how we can support them and find them more support. And we will call them as many times as they need us to get them into a more stable place. For now, Food Bank is my calling. Meeting and sharing our work is as important as feeding people. And as we work towards the end of need food banks in this city, I aim to do this before I retire. Yes, I am going to retire, Gavin. Yes. Thank you.
Brilliant. Love that, you know. Just a bit of a trip down memory lane for myself as well. I'd forgotten completely about the trolley push from each of the areas of the city into the cathedral for the harvest. So thank you so much for that, Dee. She's been so much of the life of Coventry Food Bank over the last 13 years. And I particularly do want to honour her this morning for all the work she's done. We wouldn't be where we are today as a charity without the work of this individual person. I think you are a public speaker at the end of the day. Yeah. I think you are natural and engaging. So, anyway, let's move on to the next song, which is Spirit of the Living God. And during this, we're going to take up the offering.
Thank you.
receive them. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for these offerings, and we pray that you would bless them and use them for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
There you go.
This is a Bible reading from Isaiah 58, verses 6 to 12. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with a pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry, satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in the sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will rise up against the age-old fountains. You will be called repairer of the broken walls, restorer of the streets and the dwellings. It is now my pleasure to invite Gavin to come and talk to you about, we're going from survival to significance.
Well, a bit like Dee, I get to 13 years in this project and I have to pinch myself and say, where did the last 13 years go? I'm now, well, actually, in a couple of weeks' time, I'm going to be 60 years of age. I don't feel 60 years of age, you know. I had a heart attack a couple of years or so ago, which was a wake-up call, a bit of a slap in the face from God, saying I got a bit too busy and readjusted, and now I just feel like a 40-year-old in the body of a 60-year-old. Bits of me are breaking off like teeth and things like that, but I still feel like, you know, I've got that joy of life. In May, just to kind of celebrate being 60, I'm going to walk coast to coast from St. Bee's Head across to Robin Hood's Bay. It's a distance of 212 miles, but don't worry, I'm not going to try that in one day. I'm going to do it over 2 weeks or so. And I had lots, before I booked this thing, I had lots and lots of people come up to me and say, "Oh, I'd really love to do that, Gav." Once you've booked it, you find out how many friends you've actually got and really want to do that kind of thing. And now I've got lots of people saying, "Oh, I'd quite like to do a day with you. What's the shortest day you've got?" Well, so anyway, if any of you would like in May to come for a walk, some of it's quite strenuous, but across some of the most spectacular parts of the country, then I'm going to do it between the 17th of May and the 30th of May. And the reason for doing it, apart from being 60, and because I think I can, at least my head says I can, even my body it may disagree with me, is that we want to raise funds for one of the projects that Feed the Hungry is invested in Zambia, which is a children's school. And the children who go there are orphans. And actually, that may not sound unsurprising to you, but actually Zambia was one of the countries that was most impacted by the AIDS pandemic, and a whole generation pretty much was wiped out. There's another country called Eswatini, which used to be called Swaziland, and Lesotho. There's similar problems there, where AIDS has so affected an older generation that you end up with vast numbers of children that need support in these places. That actually quite nicely segues into this particular talk. But, you know, over the years, like Dee, I've had a whale of a time. When I first got married, which was about 37 years ago, which I think is some sort of life sentence, My wife is a dance teacher, and we have a dance school in Leamington. But at the wedding banquet, I said one of the promises I made to her was that I would get more letters after my name by the time I died than she had, because at that point she had 16 letters as a qualified dance teacher, all sorts of letters that you, I don't know what they mean now. So I was hugely honoured to receive an MBE in 2021, and just before I had the heart attack, didn't plan it this way, went to Windsor Castle, met Princess Anne, and received the MBE from her. In a couple of months later, Bishop Christopher made me a canon of Coventry Cathedral, and I also got an honorary doctorate of Coventry University, which has really irritated my middle son, who had to work 3 years to get a straightforward Masters of Art from the same university. And he said, you just rocked up and you got gowned up and looked rather posh for a day, but and then end up with this, MBA or whatever. Anyway, honorary doctorate. So, yes, I'm the founder of Coventry Food Bank. I'm now the projects director of Feed the Hungry. That happened after we brought the two charities together in 2021, almost 3 years ago to the day. It was the 1st of February 2021. At that time, four people from Feed the Hungry got together with four people from the food bank. And today, in terms of the numbers of people we employ, it's in the mid-30s, nearly. It's about 36 at the moment, most of them part-time. But it's a huge number of people. I think just in that number, you can see how much God has taken the charity and blown it apart and made it into something much, much greater than the two parts that were brought together then. And yet, over the last few years, I've kind of got more and more irritated by the fact that we're feeding people. Now, that may be strange to stand here in front of you and say, you know, I am not that happy about feeding people. I'm a food bank. I'm a charity that does pantries across Leicester and Warwickshire. I represent a charity that, at the moment, with its six offices around the world, feeds 500,000 children every single day in schools around particularly places like Africa, but other places like we send food to Ukraine and to earthquake regions like Turkey and out to Syria. But it would seem a bit strange to stand here and say, that I get a little bit irritated by the fact that one of our logos, one of the strap lines we have, is we are working towards feeding 500,000 children. Well, actually, I wish we didn't have to. Like Dee, we didn't have to feed 500,000 children. I wish we didn't have to feed 600 people in Coventry every week. I wish that we didn't have pantries in Lurlington, or in Old Shilton in Leicestershire, or up in two of them in Nuneaton. We do, and you know, it's a huge privilege to be feeding people. But if all we're doing, really, when we feed people, is we are just taking them from a place of survival to stability. And for a lot of people, they're just oscillating back between those two positions of needing a food bank, then solving the problem, then needing a food bank, then solving the problem. And we need to do so much more. And we'll talk a little bit in this section about the sorts of things that are being done by Coventry Food Bank and by Feed the Hungry to do that. You know, when Jesus talks about this, and when you read passages of Scripture, you never see bits of Scripture where it just talks about feeding the hungry. It's always more holistic. There's always more to it. So when we read Psalm 146, it says, He upholds the cause of the oppressed, and he gives food to the hungry. But Psalm 146 does not stop at saying he gives food to the hungry. It moves on. It says, the Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. And the Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteousness. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked. And this is what you find, like Matthew 25:35 says, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. There's a whole list of holistic interventions. It's not about the one thing. It's about providing solutions which take people from a position of survival, not just through to being stable, but actually through to a place where their lives are significant. And that's kind of what I want to talk about now. Now, Psalm 146 is actually a bit like Jesus' manifesto, which turns up in Luke 4, verse 18. You know, the bit that says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." But again, it's holistic, it's rounded, it's a complete approach to the human condition. It's not simply about doing one thing. And that's what we've learned over the years, that actually we don't just feed hungry people. That is not our modus operandi. We do so much more than that. Do you know, the thing is that having realized that, having kind of got into all of, well, how do we get people actually out of needing a food bank? What do we do about this? Dee said in her talk that her ultimate goal was not to be running a food bank. In fact, that's the Trust of Trust's ultimate goal, is not to be running food banks. Now, you might say, well, that's a bit of a pipe dream, but it's something to work towards. How are we doing that in Coventry at this time? Well, we have an amazing project in the food bank, which is called Pathfinder. And Pathfinder is an intervention. What we learned over the years, we did a few pilot projects. Back in 2014, we worked with Citizens Advice, and we provided debt and welfare support into the 15 food bank centres that we have around the city. And what we found was that as people came in, the problems that brought them there, more often than not, were around establishing, you know, or re-establishing welfare payments they were entitled to, or getting rid of debt issues they had. Those were big things. That as we did that, as we put money back in people's pockets, they didn't need to come back to food bank again. Now, I'm not telling you that in theory, I'm telling you that actually that practically was what happened. And we, in those days, the numbers of people we were feeding were roughly around 18,000 a year, and we dropped it down to 15,000 just by doing that intervention. But it's not all of it, of course. We know that to be in a place where lives matter and where people feel significant, they also have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is a big part of why we work in churches as well. So our centres are based in churches. It's a big part of why around the world, when we're feeding children in schools, we're working with trusted partners, such as in Zimbabwe, where we feed 16,000 children every single day with food in around about 12 schools around Harare. That is why we work with Christian trusted partners in those parts of the world. We work with churches, we work with church agencies, and we have personal relationships. So we know, one, the food is going to where it needs to be, but two, it's being shared with the love of Jesus in mind and with the gospel being proclaimed. Pathfinder is interesting because what it does is, like that project we did back in 2014 with Citizens Advice, where we were providing welfare and debt, this goes further than that. This enables our food bank centres to talk to clients at first point of connection and be able to say, actually, on the basis of the information we've got from our system, the system is called STEP, which is kind of sits over the top of all the interventions that are available in the City of Coventry. You are able to access these sorts of things. You are able to access welfare, you're able to access debt, you can go to the City Council and you can get funding for this and that. It sends it to people's phones. It sends it to their phones in the language that they speak, because so many people who come through food bank, English is not their first language. So if you're Ukrainian and you came to a food bank centre for food, you would get Pathfinder intervention and you get that information on your phone in Ukrainian. What we found so far, because we followed it up with our Pathfinder team, is that to date, I know on that video, which is slightly out of date, we were talking about savings of £150,000. That's money put back into people's pockets. To date, it's about £750,000 so far. Now this, obviously, if you can put money back in people's pockets, that is a first big step to moving them on from survival and that they don't need a food bank again. But, of course, if we can bring them into a church environment, we can do that. We can treat them with love. We can treat them with respect. And we can invite them in. We can share the relationship we have with Jesus Christ with them. And that's the bit that really takes them on. We have a beautiful project doing pantry out in Camp Hill, Nuneaton. Most of you are familiar with Camp Hill, I would think, in Nuneaton. And there's a church up there that's been an Anglican church that's been closed for about the last 5 years or so ago. The reason is that water started to get in through the roof. And so it became an unfit place to worship. But the diocese wants to reopen it. As part of that, we asked them if we could start a pantry, just to step aside. A pantry is slightly different from a food bank. We did do it in the explainer, but just to give you a reminder of what that is, that the pantry allows people to come in and choose the food for a contribution of £5. We have, in the city of Coventry, although we don't run them, there are about 15 pantries at the moment. And so you go in, you have a kind of a supermarket experience. I like pantries because actually there's an element of dignity in being able to choose the food that you want according to your own tastes, within restrictions. But the pantry membership is for 6 months, and during that time you have to connect with the interventions that are being offered, like debt and welfare. Usually you have citizens' advice working alongside. But in this particular church in Camp Hill, they'd re-established or brought in a new vicar, and he worked alongside us in the church hall, which is where we put the pantry. And so people came in, and they got their food, yes, but they wanted to stay and have a coffee and a tea and a chat. Very often people just want to offload the situations that bring them there in the first place. They want somebody to listen. And before you know where you are, he's got 20 people in his inquiries group for his church. That, for me, is where people are being taken from survival through to significance, where they're finding what their purpose is and why they're here, and they're beginning to move themselves away from, I have a problem with money and with getting food and just trying to live on a day-to-day basis, and actually I'm beginning to enjoy myself. So we want to move people from crisis to survival. And we would love you to engage with this. As I said earlier, you're very welcome to come and see what we do over in the Halo Centre. In the Halo Centre, if you came over tomorrow, you would see food there, not only for Coventry, but food that's waiting to go out on a shipping container to Zimbabwe. Our shipping containers take rice meals out there. They're rice, soy, lentil packs. And each shipping container contains enough food to feed or to provide 300,000 meals. It's a huge number of meals. It would feed all the schools in Zimbabwe that we're currently looking after for a couple of months. And we send about 6 shipping containers a year. But that's simply doing, that's providing the children. I went out in Zimbabwe actually to see some of these projects in November of last year. What we want to do in Zimbabwe is to stop shipping from the UK. What we want to do in Zimbabwe is to build sustainable growing programs where we can empower local farmers to be able to grow the food that is then given into schools. And that project is already underway with a Christian charity called Foundations for Farming. We've trained up 36 farmers. We've got another 600 waiting in the wings. And they, all they have to do is take a sixth of a hectare of their land to grow for themselves, and everything else can be sold to feed the hungry, to provide the food that we're currently shipping from the UK. For those farmers, that takes them from survival to significance, because at the moment they have to sell, and they have to sell to middlemen, and they have to sell to the government, and they sell at very low prices, and they basically farm on a subsistence level basis. But we are teaching and training them to be able to grow on a basis where they become sustainable and where they generate income for themselves and their communities. And that is moving people out of survival. So I hope you get in all of this a flavour of what we're trying to do, from survival to significance through stability. And that is a really exciting journey from us. It drives what we do, backed by our knowledge and love and the power of Jesus in what we do. Thank you very much for welcoming us here today. It's been great to be with you. If you'd like to know more about us and what we're doing, as I say, we can talk to you at the end. We'll have some leaflets and stuff, and you're always welcome to come over to the Halo Centre. Thank you. So, I think we're now moving into a time of prayer, where I'm going to hand over to 3 people who are going to pray. Is that right?
3 of us leading the prayer time this morning. So I said on the prayer meeting, we need some volunteers. And within 5 minutes, a phone call came. We had a volunteer. It's amazing. And then we got another volunteer as well. So I'm not first, so I'll move out of the way.
This is a prayer for what's going on around the world. Dear Lord, I pray in these difficult times, Lord, for the mass devastation and senseless loss of life in Israel, Palestine, Ukraine, Russia, and all the other countries who are suffering because of difficult wars going on that I cannot even begin to understand why. Lord, I pray that you will drive out all the evil that is causing such a huge loss of life and maiming within these countries, and that they will find peace and reconciliation. I pray that those responsible will come to realise that they are killing innocent men, women and children, and that there can never be any winners. I do pray, Lord, that Jesus will walk amongst the people in the great divide and drive out all the evil, and that these countries will come to know peace again. Lord, I ask that you give strength and comfort to all who are affected by war and help them to find healing and happiness and hope in the middle of such devastation. I ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we bring before you those known to us who are unwell. We pray for Jean, Evelyn, Mabel, Pauline, and Eileen. And Lord, if there's anyone that slipped my mind, Lord, we just thank you that no one slips your mind. Lord, may your unfailing love be their comfort. In times of loneliness, help them to remember that you are the friend who will never leave them. We thank you that whenever we call out to you, you are near. You are gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. What a wonderful God we serve. We pray for the families of those we have mentioned. As they give support and understanding, Lord, strengthen them. Encourage and bless them too, as they give time out of their busy lives. And we think of those who work as carers. Many at this moment are out in this community working. Lord, we pray for good relationships and a real awareness of people's needs. And Lord, please open our eyes to those in need around us. Amen.
First of all, could I just say thank you for people like Gavin and Stacey. Dear me. Gavin and Stacey. No, sorry. No, I'd just like to say a sincere thank you. Just for people like you that are not known. You know, you do it quietly and just get on. I mean, I have got family that work in food banks and debt counselling, and it's a good thing. Thank you. Lord, I pray for all those people who don't have a roof over their heads. I'm wondering where the next meal is going to come from. From families torn apart by war, famine and debt. I thank you all the volunteers who help to distribute food, clothes or give medical aid, be it in this country or abroad. We all have the same needs. Lord, we hand these things over to you. May God grant you blessings and love to all who may need it. Amen.
So if you'd like to stand, our last hymn is "For I'm Building a People of Power."
People of power, and I'm making
So if you'd like to know a little bit more about the work of Food That Feed the Hungry or Coventry Food Bank, as I said before, we'll be at the back with leaflets. If you want to get involved, there are generally three ways to do that. One is to pray for us. The second tier is to volunteer for us. There are all sorts of volunteering opportunities, particularly at the Halo Centre. And the third way is if you would like to become a life giver and give regularly either to the work of Coventry Food Bank or the work of Feed the Hungry. Thank you so much for the warmth of your welcome today. On behalf of Dee and myself, we represent hundreds of volunteers across the city of Coventry and thousands of people across the world invested in this amazing project. Let's just close with prayer. I'm going to do the grace. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Bless you all. Thank you so much.